Hey, hey, hey. From Shaw and Partners, here we go. Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
And Happy New Year to you.
And you too.
Now, for every crazy thing that Trump does, of which there are many, then he goes and does WASH, which seems, on the surface anyway, to be moderately sensible, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, yes, I would agree, but so much going on there, isn't there, start 2026. I actually had the good fortune, Mike, of spending a couple of weeks in Europe over the break, and I attended an investment summit in London, and it's a great lineup of speakers, you know, invaluable sort of sessions, but one of them, or at least a couple of them, were on this very topic about what's happening at arguably the most important central bank in the world, so the US Federal Reserve. So we have a nomination, a new chair, Kevin Warsh. During last week, I think if you were following the betting market, Poly market, I think at one stage they'd elevated Rick Reeder, who was the BlackRock chief of fixed income, to the favourite position. But big late turnaround, Kevin Warsh surged to the top, and that was confirmed. The nomination was confirmed by President Trump. So who is he? Well, he was previously a member of the Federal Board of Governors. That was from 2006 to 2011. He's currently a fellow in economics at Stanford's Hoover Institution. He was originally nominated to the Fed by President Bush. He was the youngest ever nominee. And he seems to have pretty strong support amongst the sort of economist community, Mike, and certainly seemed to have very strong support back then from Ben Bernanke. He still needs to have the nomination endorsed by the Senate. It's not all plain sailing there. And an interesting sort of side point, I guess, he's married to an heiress of the Estee Lauder family. Apparently there's a strong family connection there between that family and the Trump family. What does it all mean? Well, this is where it gets absolutely fascinating, Mike. You'd expect that he's fully cognizant of the Trump administration's desire to lower the Fed funds rate and lower interest rate. But Mike, you don't have to look very hard to find that he has historically been viewed as a bit of a hawk when it comes to inflation. So yes, he could bring a dovish view on monetary policy, but not, it would seem, at the risk of higher inflation. So look, maybe he envisages a different use of the Fed's balance sheet than perhaps Powell has. That all gets sort of quite technical. We'll see that pan out. But Mike, the one point I want to make, it's really important not to overstate the importance of one individual on the Federal Open Market Committee. It's one person, one vote. And that committee has checks and balances. You always have these rotating members from the regional feds, which act as they can lean against an overzealous chair. Very difficult for one person to dictate monetary policy. And then you have the sort of the weight of the institution and professional credibility come into play as well. Look, I attended a presentation on exactly this topic, as I said. Certainly this was the view of the very learned presenter. In terms of reaction, US interest rates didn't really move. The dollar was a little stronger. You had PPI inflation in the US on Friday as well. There's still inflation pressure there. We'll get lots of analysis, lots of commentary on this week. What did kick off, though, Mike, as you said, was the precious metals market.
Yeah, exactly. And so he wasn't the freak show that they thought, so suddenly we don't need to panic anymore. So where do we go with this? What's happening?
Well, so, yes, boy, it really did kick off. Absolute bang of a trading session in the precious metals. So, look, just to explain this, we've been talking last week about the sort of parabolic rise of silver, the stonking rally that you'd seen in gold. It all came to crashing in on Friday. Gold fell at one stage, I think, by more than 12% to close below $5,000 an ounce, one of the biggest one-day declines in decades. But the poster child for volatility and train wrecks on Friday was silver. At one stage, it had fallen 36% intraday. So you'd sort of seen these metals soaring, Mike, because you had these fundamental factors in the background, one of which was concerned over the US dollar, you know, US dollar debasement, other things like Fed independence, the trade wars, and this was sort of fueling money into the precious metals. But then, of course, you get the US dollar lifts on Friday, kicked off, it seems, by the announcement of the nomination of Warsh. So here's the thing, and what I was saying before is, if he's an inflation hawk, then maybe the dollar isn't in as much trouble as people thought they had. So you get this crazy price action in the precious metals. You throw in the complicating factor of month-end rebalancing trades in liquid market. And I'd have to say, Mike, with the old grey head on my shoulders, I just also didn't like the look of how fast and how quickly that those precious metals had gone up. Anyway, it was all a train wreck. You saw this stopping out. You saw one heck of a price action on Friday.
What are the numbers?
Right, so for all that though, the Dow Jones was actually up 0.37%, 48,892. The S&P 500 fell 0.4%, 6939. The Nasdaq down 0.94%, 23,461. FTSE 100 though was up 0.5%, 10,223. The Nikkei down small, 53,322. The Shanghai Composite down about 1%. The ASX 200 on Friday down 0.2%, 8869 the close there. And the NZX 50 gained 75 points, 13,423. Kiwi dollar, 0.6015 against the US, 0.8633 Aussie, 0.5078 against the Euro, 0.4385 pounds, 92.89 Japanese yen. Bitcoin, Michael, just make a mention, crashed on Friday a little bit, 77,213 as we speak. Gold, as I said, 4894, under 5,000. Silver was down 26%, closed at $85.20. And Brent crude, $69.32.
Good to see you. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.